Welcome to the Swiss Info Podcast, a roundup of the biggest stories from this week in Switzerland, plus the business and cultural highlights.
Hello, Happy New Year, and thanks for downloading Swiss Info's special year-end podcast for December the 31st. I'm Thomas Stevens. Well, that was the year that was, and 2008 didn't fail to deliver for news junkies. Unforgettable events include the near collapse of the global financial system, the election of Barack Obama to the White House, and China hosting the Olympic Games. But everyone sees the world in different ways, and in this podcast I'll be chatting to a few Swiss Info journalists about their personal highlights from the past 12 months. First up is Julia Slater. Julia, you've chosen sport as one of your memorable moments of 2008, which slightly surprises me, but what have you chosen?
You're quite right to be surprised. What I've chosen is the Dutch invasion of Bern. And I've chosen it precisely because I'm not in the least bit interested in sport. In fact, I'm rather an old fuddy-duddy. And I was expecting, when I heard that Bern was going to be hosting one of the Euro Cup matches, I just thought, oh, this is going to be absolutely dreadful, full of hooligans, full of louts, and we won't be able to move, and it'll be absolute chaos and dreadful, and I shall stay at home. But in actual fact, what we had was huge numbers of Dutch people, and they actually more or less doubled the population of the city of Bern. But you had all these people milling around in the centre of town with orange clothes on and their orange spiky hair and goodness knows what, hanging balloons on our fountains. And
I got caught in the middle of an umpa band.
There was a lot of noise going on, yes, but it was incredibly peaceful and relaxed.
Did you mingle amongst them? Did you get your orange? Did you paint your face red or orange?
Well, I must say I didn't paint my face orange, but I did go to Gorp and to take pictures. And it was very encouraging because one tends to think that hordes of people are always going to be slightly dangerous and want a bit apprehensive. And it was just so full of goodwill that, just on a human level, it was a very encouraging thing to have experienced.
Julia Slater. Another encouraging event for many people was the news that Barack Obama would become 44th President of the United States on January the 20th. Tim Neville reflects on the US election.
Being American and just having moved to Switzerland 3 months before, it was a pretty special experience being able to witness that from abroad. I remember I came into the office here about 5:30 in the morning when Obama was just giving his acceptance speech. And I have to say, it was definitely a memorable experience, very, very moving. Afterwards, it was funny because people came up to me and were congratulating me as if I had had something to do with his election.
Did you stay up all night watching it?
We didn't stay up all night, but my wife and I made a pot of fondue and sat in front of the television and did try to watch some of the returns come in. But, you know, it was getting late at night here and polls were, you know, it was like noon in Missouri or something. So it was really, really hard to see how it was going to go.
Did Switzerland get into the mood of the election?
It was amazing, actually, how I don't want to say that people were rabid about the election here, but they definitely cared a lot more about it than it seemed than a lot of the people that I knew in the States. I mean, of course, people in the States were, from my experience, were also very concerned about the election. But here, people were really curious about it. I mean, you saw it in the newspapers every day with different headlines, and it just kept coming up in various forms. So it was a really exciting time, no doubt.
Tim Neville. And the excitement didn't end there. As Isabel Leibel-Johnson reports.
For me, one of the highlights of the year had to be going to Lucerne, or near Lucerne, to Emmen, for the Swiss premiere of the new James Bond film. The excitement was really high because, of course, it had a Swiss director, Mark Forster. And, of course, we were supposed to get 007 himself to introduce the film. But, unfortunately, although 007 can survive big explosions and being shot at, he couldn't survive the flu and he didn't turn up and everyone was terribly disappointed.
So he made it to Switzerland, but he ended up in his hotel bed with a lem tip, shaken and not stirred, presumably.
Yes, I'm afraid so. So, okay, we did get to see Mark Forster and we did get to see Anatole Taubman, who was the only Bond baddie ever to speak Swiss German in a Bond film. But, of course, it just wasn't quite the same without good old James Bond himself.
Isabel Leibel-Johnson looking back at the Bondless Swiss premiere of A Quantum of Solace, which might have been the most watched film in Swiss cinemas of 2008, and which might have had impressive stunts, but if anyone has even the faintest idea of what the plot was about, please let me know. Searching for her own Quantum of Solace is Gillian Spinden, who reminisces on the surprise retirement of Switzerland's two-time ice skating world champion.
disappointing event, and memorable, of course, that was the announcement that Stefan Lambiel would drop out of competitive ice skating. I think it's a shame for someone to have to stop their competitive career at the age of 23. But I admire him for deciding to stop doing it rather than wearing his body out anymore.
I mean, I'd rather stare at my wall for 3 hours and watch ice skating. But a lot of people do seem to like Lambiel. What was it about him that made you like him so much?
He had the ability to put music into movement. His style was so smooth and elegant. It was sensual, it was sexy, it was passionate.
Gillian Spenden on the retirement of Stefan Lambiel. If it's passion you want, you might consider booking a seat at UBS's next general meeting. Swiss Info's business correspondent Matt Allen explains his memorable event of the year.
Well, it has to be going to the UBS extraordinary general meeting in February when former chairman Marcel Ospel and the board had to explain why they'd lost all the shareholders' money and accrued billions of dollars worth of debt. It was indeed extraordinary because it was a time when tempers flared and shareholders shouted and screamed and heckled, not something you usually see in Switzerland. And it's the only time I've actually seen such public displays of emotion about the financial crisis. We had people dressing up in fancy dress. We had a man outside giving away sausages for some peculiar reason I can't quite remember. And a stage was even stormed by one person bearing a deadly wad of paper, which could have been quite nasty had it dropped on someone's toe. But fortunately, he was wrestled to the ground by security while the board fled the stage. And that really was quite a telling moment. I've been to several other UBS meetings since then, and the atmosphere's been quite calm in comparison.
Matt Allen, back in the safety of our Zurich offices. The atmosphere certainly wasn't calm in Bern on December the 10th, when Uli Maurer from the right-wing Swiss People's Party was elected to the cabinet by just one vote. Dale Bechtel explains why he's pleased that Maurer scraped in.
Well, Uli Maurer, not that I agree with his politics, but he did make quite a comeback. It was only a year ago that most commentators had written him off. He made a bid to win the Senate seat for Zurich, but lost the vote. He stepped down as president of the Swiss People's Party. And so now to see him elected to the cabinet, it's really quite a, it's been quite a turnaround or quite a comeback for Uli Maurer.
I mean, one of the few things I know about Uli Maurer is that he chews grass, and apparently he can tell 50 different types of grass just by sucking on them.
That's really fascinating. But did you also know that he was an officer in the Swiss Army Bicycle Brigade?
Didn't know that.
Most importantly, and this is really why I've chosen Uli Maurer as Man of the Year, or him being elected to the cabinet as the event of the year. He's going to keep my favorite Swiss satirist busy. And Victor Jacobo in the 90s used to portray Maurer as the stooge of the People's Party strongman, Christoph Blocher. I'm looking forward to seeing how Victor Jacobo is going to parody Uli Maurer in the years to come.
Dale Bechtel looking forward to a bit of Swiss satire, which I can assure you is an acquired taste. In the final memorable event of this podcast, our Geneva correspondent Simon Bradley enters the world of particle physics.
For me, the biggest story last year was the Big Bang Machine, the Large Hadron Collider built by CERN, the European Organization for Nuclear Research, which on the 10th of September celebrated its first test, if you like, which involved firing proton beams close to the speed of light in different directions around this 27-kilometer ring underneath the French-Swiss border. Experts feel that it could unlock many secrets of modern physics and answer all these bigger questions about the universe and its origins. And I must say, the atmosphere was absolutely incredible. There was about 5,000 members of the media there, TV cameras, and just an incredible event.
But the honeymoon didn't actually last that long, did it?
9 days, the honeymoon, because after 9 days they had a cooling system malfunction. This resulted in a helium leak, which is costing them something like 35 million Swiss francs to repair. But they say that things should be back up and running by summer.
Simon Bradley, who went to CERN, where hundreds of scientists were presumably running around squeaking, "There's a leak!" in a high-pitched voice. As for me, what sticks in my mind? Well, I certainly laughed when the Swiss football team were beaten by Luxembourg, repeat, Luxembourg, in a World Cup qualifier, and I was gutted when Federer lost to Nadal at Wimbledon. I didn't know whether to laugh or cry at some of the feedback to our CERN coverage, with a frightening number of readers worried we were all going to disappear into a black hole. I was also struck by journalists' curse in July, when within hours of writing an article on how the price of oil, which had just reached $147 a barrel, was about to shoot through $150, it started plummeting, and is now down to about $40. But life goes on, and there's unlikely to be many dull moments in 2009. From the planned, will Swiss voters cause a diplomatic spat with the EU in February by rejecting the free movement of people to Romania and Bulgaria? Will Roger Federer regain the number one spot? To the out of the blue, what are the chances of a massive earthquake in Zurich? Whatever 2009 throws at us, make sure you hear it first at swissinvade.ch. Thanks for listening. Turn on, tune in, and download again on January the 9th for more Swiss news and views. I'm Thomas Stevens. And by the way, the chances of an earthquake in Zurich are pretty small.